With Montana News, I'm Sophia Stewart Rossi. The two leading candidates to become Montana's next governor edged closer in fundraising over the last month. Kevin Trevelin with YPR News reports.
U.S. Congressman Greg Gianforte, the Republican nominee, raised more than $248,000 in campaign funds over the last filing period, disclosed Monday, while his Democratic challenger, Lieutenant Governor Mike Cooney, raised more than $207,000 over the same span. Montana State University political scientist Eric Riley.
The race, I think, according to all indications, is going to be pretty close. So the money that's flowing into the two races seems to be commensurate.
Despite recent fundraising totals, Gianforte still holds a massive cash advantage overall, with $593,000 in the bank. Gianforte has loaned his campaign $1.5 million to date. Meanwhile, Cooney has about $170,000 on hand. Riley says candidates with a cash disadvantage often rely on a robust ground game with lots of volunteers. He says restrictions tied to the novel coronavirus pandemic could make campaign funds, and by extension advertising, more impactful in this race. Kevin Trevelin, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
Kevin Trevelin is Yellowstone Public Radio's Report for America Statehouse reporter. A coal mining company that works in Montana filed a request in May for a judicial review of a recently changed rule for power plant air emissions standards. Kayla DeRoche with YPR News reports that a Montana environmental group filed a motion to intervene last week.
Westmoreland Mining Holdings, which operates Rosebud Mine in Colstrip, Montana, filed a petition in Washington, D.C. federal court last month asking for the review of the Environmental Protection Agency's mercury and air toxics standards. The court document does not explain the company's intentions, and Westmoreland declined YPR's request for a comment on the story. The lawsuit was filed on the same day the Environmental Protection Agency published a rule change that cut language saying it's, quote, appropriate and necessary, unquote, to regulate the emission of air toxins like mercury and arsenic from coal and oil-fired power plants. The EPA says that while emission standards remain in place, it made the change in language because it found the financial cost of the companies complying with the regulations outweighs the health benefits of the emissions reductions. The Montana Environmental Information Center joined around 20 other groups last week in filing a motion to intervene in Westmoreland's case on top of petitioning the EPA to review the rule change. Environmental law nonprofit Earth Justice represents a few of the advocacy groups listed on the case, including MEIC. Earth Justice attorney Neil Gormley says the new wording makes the mercury and air toxics standards vulnerable to legal challenge.
What matters is that the standards are now at risk. EPA has essentially invited the coal industry to go to court to take down the standards themselves.
YPR reached out to the EPA, which stated it does not comment on pending litigation. The mercury and air toxics standards apply to power plant emissions, including mercury, arsenic, and lead. Mercury exposure can lead to a number of health effects, including harm to the brain, heart, kidneys, lungs, and immune system. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
The U.S. Senate Indian Affairs Committee held its first hearing Wednesday on the Montana Water Rights Protection Act, which would settle long-disputed water rights claims of the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes. MTPR's Aaron Bolton has more.
The bill would prevent costly litigation over thousands of water rights claims filed by the tribes and would fund the rehabilitation of the Flathead Indian Irrigation Project. Montana Republican Senator Steve Daines spent much of his time during the hearing asking U.S. Department of Interior Assistant Secretary Tim Petty about whether the department supported the bill. Petty said the department supports the bill over costly litigation but did note some issues with oversight.
While the department has concerns with S-3019 as introduced, principally that the bill lacks necessary assurances that settlement funds will be spent and sent to sufficiently rehabilitate and modernize the system and project, we have worked diligently with the tribes to address these concerns.
Daines mentioned in the hearing that he plans to amend the bill to address the oversight concerns. Daines is sponsoring the legislation. Montana Democratic Senator John Tester is co-sponsoring it. Both Tester and Daines sit on the Indian Affairs Committee. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
The Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes plan to lift the shelter-in-place order on the Flathead Indian Reservation in mid-July. MTPR's Aaron Bolton reports the order was issued in late March when coronavirus cases were detected in the state.
The CSKT Tribal Council decided Tuesday that the shelter-in-place order on the reservation will be lifted July 13th, barring any new spikes in confirmed cases of COVID-19. Chairwoman Shelley Fiant says the council originally intended to lift the order June 29th, but held back because of a mass testing event on the reservation last week.
But we wanted to give it a week to get our test results back and also let the 4th of July holiday pass.
Fiant says tribal employees will return to their respective offices once the order is lifted. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
11 bull bison quarantined in a federal facility near Yellowstone National Park were transferred to the Fort Peck Indian Reservation Wednesday as part of an effort to boost bison herd numbers across the U.S. Rachel Kramer with YPR News reports.
This is the fourth relocation of Yellowstone bison to the Fort Peck Indian Reservation since February 2019 under the current interagency quarantine program. The 11 bull bison transferred Wednesday will spend the next year in the tribe's quarantine facility, where they'll be tested every 6 months for brucellosis, a bacterial disease that can spread between bison, elk, and cattle if they come into contact with afterbirth tissues and fluids. The disease can cause infertility and miscarriages, which are financial threats to cattle ranchers. In 1995, the state of Montana sued the U.S. Park Service for allowing bison to leave Yellowstone and enter state land. An interagency team developed several management strategies to keep the herds from getting too large, including hunting bison that migrate out of the park and capturing them to ship to slaughter. The quarantine program provides an alternative ending for America's national mammal. The facility at Fort Peck increases the capacity to get more bison through the program. Bison that complete quarantine can be transferred to other tribes and conservation organizations to start or boost herds across the U.S. With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Rachel Kramer.
Governor Steve Bullock said Wednesday there's no doubt Montana has seen a spike in COVID-19 cases since the state moved into the second phase of its economic reopening plan in early June. Nearly a third of the state's 766 total known cases have been reported since June 1st. In a press conference outlining the state's efforts to trace known contacts of people tested positive for COVID-19, the governor said 136 people have tested positive for the disease over the past week. State officials say the increase in reported cases is tied to both economic reopening and more testing and tracing of known patients. They say Montana is close to reaching Bullock's stated goal of reaching 60,000 COVID-19 tests run a month in Montana. Jim Murphy is the chief of the State Communicable Diseases Bureau.
I would hope that in the month of July, if the trends continue, we'll be meeting that 60,000 goal.
There are more than 170 people known to still be sick with a COVID-19 infection. Bighorn County has the highest count with 30. There are five other counties with double-digit active cases, including Gallatin, Yellowstone, Missoula, Rosebud, and Custer. With Montana Public Radio News, I'm Sophia Stewart-Rossi.